Let's pray together for a moment. Father, what an honor and privilege to be here to ponder the life of Bill Moon. What a brother. What a husband, what a father, what a son, a grandfather, all the things that Bill has been, a friend to so many of us. And Lord, we want him to be honored, and we want what he wanted most, for you to be honored. And so we ask that you would be here in a very real way in these moments through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We sense your presence, but we need you. We need your enlightenment. We need your perspective. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I met Bill Moon at Orient Grade School in the fall of 1966, just over 45 years ago. We were in the same class at Orient Grade School near Gresham, outside of Portland. We went through our 7th and 8th grade years together, had a lot of classes together, played a lot of sports together, and went on to Barlow High School. We were the first freshman class at Barlow, which opened in the fall of 1968, and we graduated together in 1972. But I will never forget meeting Bill Moon the fall of his 7th grade year, because I immediately liked him. And I wasn't exactly sure what it was I saw in him that drew me to him. But I remember years later telling him this. And we were friends from the beginning, played ball together, and went to some of the same parties and those sorts of things. But I remember telling people, well, what do you think of this person, that person, whatever? Whenever it would come to Bill Moon, I would just smile. I'd say, I really like Bill. But I didn't know why. I grew up in a non-Christian family. I didn't know the Lord. And then when I was in high school and heard the gospel and came to faith in Christ, it was through the ministry of a church that some of you are from, Powell Valley Covenant Church, near Barlow High School. And I went to that youth group, and there was Bill Moon. And I said hi to him. We saw each other at school. And I made a connection. And as I heard the gospel for the first time and then came to faith in Christ, I remember telling Bill, I discovered what it was that I saw in you that I was drawn to from the first time I met you. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. And honestly, I do not in any way pedestalize or glorify Bill Moon. That's the last thing he would want. Same sinful nature that we all have, all of that. But the presence of Jesus in his life, even as a very young man, as I got to know him, was remarkable. It was striking. And to this day, I have not forgotten it, and I never will forget it. He knew Jesus, and I didn't. And he had something that I didn't have because he had someone that I didn't have. And when I came to know Jesus, I entered into that world. And Bill and I would share our faith in Christ with our classmates at Barlow High School. And we would get together, and we would pray for those people we were sharing our faith with. And there are some, I think, here today from that class, and I think every single person, Christian or non-Christian, that went through high school with us would speak highly of Bill Moon. And that can be said of, I think, of very few people. Sometimes you do a memorial service, and I've done them before, and very honestly, you find yourself sort of stretching for things. And you say, okay, yeah, there's this. And you sort of grab that. With Bill, it just overflows. You're not stretching for anything, because the smile that you saw in those pictures was from Bill's heart. That's just Bill. And I love that one caption, Bill being Bill. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Bill was Bill. And Bill is Bill right now, this moment in the presence of Christ. Bill without any of the bad parts. And you really had to stretch to find those. But he'd be the first to say he had them, but he no longer does. He is in the presence of Christ, a righteous man made perfect, as it's described in Scripture. I remember one of my early memories of Bill was a father-son banquet after the football season. They showed NFL films, and Bill showed up with somebody. It wasn't his dad. It was Arden Myers, the first time that I met Arden, though I didn't, you know, introduce myself to him that night. I got to know him later on at Powell Valley Covenant Church, but I saw Bill's respect for Arden, his brother-in-law, a father figure, and just talking a few minutes ago with Doug, saying that, yeah, Bill was a brother to us, and riding over here with Rod and Diane and Amy, Rod saying some of the same things, just his love for Bill and his respect for Bill and the example that Bill was. Again, no illusions of perfection, but just the reality of the quality of this person that we're talking about. A quality of kindness. I don't think I have ever known a nicer guy. I've known a lot of people. I honestly don't think I have known a nicer guy. No offense to all the guys here that I know. Maybe some equally nice, almost. Okay. But really, the sparkle in his eye, the smile that you would see. I mean, after those years of knowing each other, and we knew each other still. We were part of not only the same high school group, but the same college group. And when he first started dating Linda, I clearly remember that. I remember Nancy and I going out with Bill and Linda and having a great time. I remember I had the privilege of being one of the groomsmen in their wedding. And all of these memories and the times when I would see him even years later when we weren't together and spending much time together because we were in different churches and different places and different, you know how that goes. You're close to people at one point, but then you're not spending time with them anymore. But every time I would see Bill, every time, it was like you picked up exactly where you left off. Nothing had been lost. And he would always, no matter what occasion it was, sometimes it was a wedding, sometimes it was a funeral, but whatever occasion it was, he would very soon, as soon as I saw him, I would see his smile. And I would walk up to him. It was old friends. I had a nickname for him. I called him Milboon. And so he used to, when he would call me, he would say, "Hey, Randy, it's Milboon." And so he would come up to me when I'd see him at a distance, and there he was. And I was so drawn to him, and he would, within 5 minutes, after telling me a couple of jokes, he would tell me about somebody that he'd been sharing the Lord with, and, "Hey, would you pray for so-and-so?" And this was never, because I know in this room there are some of you that, perhaps a number of you, that he shared the Lord with. There are some people in this room that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that Bill was a headhunter going after you. He wasn't. He was a guy who just, "I love Jesus. I know Jesus. He's changed my life. And I want you to know him too because of what he'll do for you and how much better off you'll be with him." And I think that spirit and that contagiousness of the smile and the life and the love for Christ is something about Bill that I will never forget. He and I must have been together, and my wife Nancy, who's here, we must have been together on easily a dozen retreats in high school and college. Many of the things in life that we experienced together. Rod and Diane, as we were coming over here, were telling a story about being out camping, and one night there was a, I'm sure Linda probably remembers this, because there was a bear, and Bill got out with a flashlight, and Rod and Diane were in a camper, and they're looking down, and they're seeing Bill out there with a flashlight facing off with a bear 5 feet away and saying, shoo, shoo, like that, like it was a dog, you know? And but that's just, you know, he has his family, and then he carries his kids, you know, into the camper and I'm sure Linda too, but she probably walked on her own. You know, just out love for his family, but he's shooing away a bear. Bill's said of Nathaniel, a man without guile. A man without guile. One of the things Rod said in the car, we're talking, coming over here, was about Bill's respect for Arden and how he would often say, I'm sorry. And I think there's a humility that he has demonstrated in his life that has drawn many of us as well. And in their last months together, Bill and Linda did a lot of thinking and reading and talking about heaven. And what a joy to talk with Linda and Rebecca morning after the Lord took Bill home, and hearing their story of God's sovereign plan and orchestrating the events and allowing for time for Rebecca to get back because she'd had to go out for some medicine, and then for Dustin to make it over, and just the beauty of that story. But I have very vivid memories of the last time I talked with Bill, which was a couple months ago, maybe six, seven weeks ago, something like that. And Bill's concern on the phone was for the family, was for people being reached for Christ, and was that he would be faithful to the end, faithful through death. And you know, when I heard that he was home with the Lord, the first thing I said to the Lord was, I know what you said to him. I know what you said to him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. He has entered into the happiness of God, a happiness which pre-existed the very creation of the world, that existed within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from eternity past. God doesn't just say, be joyful. He says, enter into my joy, a joy that is in me. I am the primary, all else is the secondary. All joy comes from me, God is saying. He is the source. He's the headwaters of joy. And then there are what C.S. Lewis called the lower streams of happiness that flow from the headwaters of joy. And so all in life that we see that brings true happiness, not the false happiness sometimes that the world offers and all of these promises that aren't fulfilled, but the true happiness and delight right down into something that you eat, in going fishing and putting a special spice on the fish that Bill would want to be on it, or doing that, but just the joys of life, the fun with the kids and with the grandchildren and the friends of the kids and the coaching, the sports, and all of that was not a separate thing from his love for the creator of the universe and his relationship with Christ. It just naturally flowed out of it. It was organic. It was one whole. And when I say was, I'm talking of the life that he lived here, but I'm not talking about him as if he no longer existed. He does. He is in the presence of Jesus. If I walked out of this room right now, if I walked out, there's probably a way to get back out there. Yes, there's a door there. If I walked out that door and I shut the door, would you be thinking, oh, gee, that's too bad. That guy, Randy, he no longer exists. No. You would just say, I can't see him. He went somewhere else. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. The fact that we can't see Bill does not mean he ceased to exist. He went to another place. He relocated. Just as really as if he had gone out that door, except I don't know what's behind that door, but I can tell you heaven's a much better place. In the very presence of Jesus. Let me read to you from Revelation 21. Then I saw, and before I read this, I should say that Bill and Linda and Rebecca, in different conversations, all expressed the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ being uplifted and glorified in this service. That was of primary importance. And in keeping with that, listen to these words from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." And what this is telling us is the place where Jesus is right now, where Bill has gone to join him, is a wonderful place, but it's not, it's heaven, because it's the presence of God. But it's not the heaven we'll live in forever. The heaven we'll live in forever will be the heaven that God brings down to a new earth, a resurrected earth, and we'll have resurrected bodies, all who know Jesus Christ, all who are cleansed by the blood of Christ and accepted into the presence of God through Christ, which God's word says is the only way to enter his presence. And the great thing is, Bill has gone ahead of us, but he will not be ahead of us in the resurrection. In the resurrection, we will be resurrected together, and then we will colonize a new earth to the glory of God and discover it and explore it together. And it says his servants will serve him. Servants have things to do, places to go, people to see, and it will be a place of glorious, wonderful, fulfilling activity and every reason to believe that arts and science and literature and all of these things, but without the curse. It says in the next chapter, there will be no more curse. No more curse. No more death. No more cancer. No more crying. No more tears. And that's what awaits the people of God. And here it is. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Christ will sit on the throne of the New Jerusalem and rule as King of Kings. And it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Not just a pronouncement of no more tears, but individually wiping away each and every tear from their eyes, from our eyes, from the eyes of his people. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Because death was the result of sin and curse, and God says, no, death will be conquered, has been conquered through the resurrection of Christ, but the ultimate fulfillment of that we have yet to see. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And Jesus, he who was seated on the throne, said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." You can take them to the bank. You can believe this book. You can trust this book. Our brother Bill trusted this book. It served as his authority under God. It's the revealed word. You can count on what it says. Jesus said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done." Similar to what he said on the cross, "It is finished. My work for you is finished," except one day we'll see the final fulfillment of all this in the presence of God. New heavens, new earth. And he said to me, "It is done." Christ said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, "the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without cost." That is without cost to those who drink, at the highest conceivable cost to the God who provided this gift through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are made for a person and a place. Jesus is the person. Heaven is the place. Bill is now there, and he has entered it the only way any person ever can, on the basis not of any merit on his part. And let's face it, folks, if Bill Moon was not good enough to get to heaven on his own, the rest of us don't have much chance, okay? And he wasn't good enough, not nearly good enough. And he'd be the first to say it, and did say it. And the point is, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Scripture says. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest any person should boast. Because you know what? If we had any merit, any way that we thought that we had contributed to this, we'd have something to boast about. And God says, you have nothing to boast about. You know, there's and let me just be blunt and say this, because this is part of the gospel. There's a four-letter word for what every one of us deserves, certainly me and all the rest of us too, and that is hell. But Christ took hell upon himself on the cross. He took upon himself the punishment for my sins, your sins, Bill's sins, all of our sins, and then said, here's the gift, take it or leave it. But if you don't take what I have done for you, what more could I do than this? He's done that, and he offers that gift. So I know there's a number of people here that Bill shared his faith in Christ with, a number of you, who have not yet come to a place of trusting Christ. And I would just say, I can say with confidence, I know what Bill would want me to say. If God sent Bill here right now, I know what he would say. Now, God's probably not going to do that because it would freak us out. But I can tell you exactly what Bill would say. And it's this. God loves you, and Jesus Christ paid the price for you so that you could know Jesus, know the joy of the Lord, and spend eternity with him. That's the gospel. It's exactly what Bill would say. Death is a turnstile. It closes on one place, it opens on another. Calvin Miller put it this way. I once scorned every fearful thought of death when it was but the end of pulse and breath. But now my eyes have seen that past the pain, there is a world that's waiting to be claimed. Earth maker, holy, let me now depart. For living is such a temporary art. And dying is but getting dressed for God. Our graves are merely doorways cut in sod. Bill is with Jesus. He's not been resurrected yet, but one day he will be, as will all of us who know Jesus Christ. So God offers that solution of faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved from the consequences of our sin, that we would spend eternity with him. Let me just say, make a few more remarks to the family, and the rest of us can listen in before I conclude. By all means, think of your dad, your husband, Linda, your grandfather, your brother, your son. By all means, think our friend, Bill. Think of him as he was in the past. Have those rich memories. Enjoy them. Weren't those slides great? Oh, man. Terrific. So, by all means, think of him in the past. But don't just think of him in the past. Think of him in the present. In the presence of Christ. And then think of him in the future. Bill Moon did not pass his peak. Bill Moon has not yet reached his peak. It will be reached in the resurrection. So don't think back, oh gee, you know, Dad was healthy and strong, and then he passed his peak, and then it was downhill from there. Well, yeah, for a while in this life. But now he's in the presence of Jesus and forever, forever in the resurrection, which all of us who know him will celebrate with him, will never pass our peaks. So that literally the best is yet to be and always will be yet to be. So as sick as he was, he didn't pass his peak. He's already been reunited with his mother, Grace, who some of us had the privilege of knowing, a character, if there ever was one, who is in the presence of Jesus and has already greeted him. He'll be joined eventually by his sister, Charlene, who may be surprised to see him when she's there. And what a great reunion that will be. And he'll be joined by all of us, brother, son, daughter, wife, all relatives, all friends, all who know Jesus. And what a reunion that will be. A union with Christ and a reunion with loved ones. And I can't wait to walk on the new earth, to walk and talk with my friend Bill. And that is not some vague hope that I somehow wished was true. I know it to be true because I am told in God's word it is true. So Bill has already heard Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." May we learn from his faithfulness and follow his example. So let me conclude with some words from The Last of the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, The Last Battle. As that story begins, several children are in a train, and just as it seemed the train was about to have a terrible wreck, they were drawn from Earth to this wonderful land of Narnia where they had an adventure. But then it comes time, they think, to go back to Earth, and the children are really depressed. They don't want to go back to Earth because they've loved their time in Narnia. And then Aslan, the great lion who represents the person of Jesus Christ, says this: "There was a real railway accident," said Aslan softly. "Your father and mother and all of you are, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, dead. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended, and this is the morning." And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. "But the things that began to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this remarkable man, Bill Moon. My memories of Bill are so many and so rich. Thank you, Lord, that they are not just memories, but that reunion awaits, and that he is whole in your presence, and we and he, we who know you, and he will be even more whole in the resurrection. We don't give any glory to him. He'd be the last to want that. We give glory to you, but we do commend him, Lord. And maybe you're letting Bill watch this right now. I don't know. But in any case, please thank him for us, for me, for his faithfulness, his kindness, for his humility, for the joy that came from his heart, for showing us Jesus full of grace and truth. Thank him for demonstrating to us and to others what love for God and what love for his family and what love for others looks like. Lord, I remember what it was like to not know you and yet to see you in Bill. I saw you in his heart and his reaching out to others, in being a servant, his quiet encouragement. I saw that beautiful smile come across his face so many times. I saw his laughter that was contagious. He was a gift. He was a gift, first to his family and then to his friends, his church, this community here. Lord, we miss him already. We look forward to being with him, with you, and seeing Bill and other loved ones again. Thank you for making that possible at no cost to us, but at enormous cost to you. And Lord, I pray right now, because this was exactly what Bill said, that he wanted those who knew him that would be in this service but did not know you, he wanted them to have the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And I pray, Lord, that right now you would move in someone's heart and maybe several people's to draw them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into a relationship with you, repenting of sin and turning to you and embracing the free gift of salvation in Christ. And Father, I pray you would prompt those people to express that decision to others and get the help and encouragement and connection with the church that teaches your word. So Lord, we pray now that you would be with the Moon family, the extended family, so many here, friends, comfort us, comfort them above all, Lord, and thank you for the faithfulness of our brother and the example he has been. We look forward to seeing you and to seeing him again. In Jesus' name, amen.